Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and Facebook Live. What's up, Facebook? Joe Geckler, Chris Kale with you here for our Week 5 podcast for high school football. Chris, let's talk about the Week 4 of the high school football season last week. We had some good games and we had some blowouts.
Yeah, we did. It was really interesting week, I think. And, you know, our game of the week we thought was going to be a good one, and it turned out really not to be. So Indian Valley, they took care of Sandy Valley 54-7. Indian Valley was just... I mean, they were on fire. Mason McEwen had a TD run and a pick six. Cade Williams with a couple TD runs. It was pretty crazy. Why are you messing with my mic?
Because it was hanging down and not on your face. So, but yeah, Indian Valley, Sandy Valley. That was a tough game for Sandy Valley, 54-7, like you mentioned. But Indian Valley did a lot of things well. But Matt Lancaster said in the post game there was a couple things they need to shore up a little bit: their penalties, their turnovers, that kind of thing. But Indian Valley took care of business when they needed to.
Yeah, and my hats off award in that game went to Matt Lancaster. First ever time that we actually gave a head coach our hats off award. So I went with Matt Lancaster and his staff. I think they've done a great job from turning what they started out 1-4 a year ago to starting out 4-0 this year. Pretty impressive. So my hats off to Matt Lancaster and the Indian Valley Braves. The next game we'll talk about: the Dover Tornadoes and Akron East Dragons. Akron East wins 34-24. Kyler Folkert with a couple touchdown runs. Alex Sayre with a TD pass to Ethan Snyder. The Tornadoes gave up over 400 yards rushing on the ground. It was like 54 carries, I think, Akron East had. You're not going to win many football games giving up 400 yards on the ground, Joe.
No, you're not, and I think that's a weakness there for Dover. Their rushing game, or their rush defense, so to speak, Akron East, I was talking about them all season. They're going to come in here with those two Division I running backs. Exactly what they did. They came in, controlled the game, ran the ball all over Dover's defense. Dover still struggling a little bit without Dre Hess. Hopefully to get him back in the next couple of weeks. Dover, you know what? They need to shore up that rush defense a little bit. Akron East kind of took it to them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something that we've been talking about with Dover for the last several years, the run defense. You know, in the first 2 weeks of the season, they did a nice job of curtailing that, or the first 3 weeks, really, did a nice job of curtailing that rush defense. Last week was a little suspect, but, you know, you thought, okay, well, your real test is going to be against a run-dominant team like Akron East is, and obviously Dover still has quite a bit of work to do. So flipping the script to New Philadelphia and St. Charles of Columbus, New Philadelphia in probably the most exciting game of the week, maybe game of the year, Joe.
Yeah, the New Philadelphia was down late in the game. They came back with three big touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win 29-28, did New Philadelphia. Baron May hit Jelani Walker with the game winner in the end zone with just seconds left to go in the game. Big win for New Philadelphia. St. Charles of Columbus, a lot better team than 0-4, and they were giving New Philadelphia fits all night on for running the ball. You know, kind of an option offense as well, kind of like Akron East was. But you run that option in high school football, you can make some teams pay if you're not disciplined on defense.
Yeah, I actually talked to Coach Dennison kind of off the record, but I'll put it on the record. I talked to him at the soccer game on Saturday, the big Dover Philly girls and boys soccer game. And by the way, I'm putting this out there now since I brought it up. I think it would be great if all schools did this, especially for sports like basketball and soccer. I thought what Dover and Philly did on Saturday for their soccer matches, the Kick It for Cancer thing, was just an awesome deal. They did it for charity, and the girls' JV game started at 1 o'clock, and they just went in succession. Boys' JV, girls' varsity, boys' varsity, all on the same day, all at the same venue. Huge crowd. My hat's off to Dover and New Philadelphia for putting that together. And I'd like to see more schools do that. Can you imagine showing up and watching a basketball game and the girls' JV game starts at noon and you go all the way through and end the night with the boys' varsity game? That's a pretty cool schedule.
It would be a neat schedule, and it would be neat to see schools do that. And maybe we'll see. Maybe Dover or Philly start a precedence with sports. And basketball is probably a little easier to do it. You're an inside, you're about a 2-hour game, and you know, you you can get four games in pretty quick. So yep. I would like to see something like that as well.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, back to my original thought with Matt Dennison. I asked him, you know, Coach, how's come you guys are starting a little bit slow, and you know, it's taken a while for you guys to get going in games, and we had talked about it pretty in depth on the air. And his reasoning is, as he said, every team that we've watched film on has done the complete opposite. So that's one thing that it's taken them a couple quarters to adjust. They're not familiar with St. Charles of Columbus. So the film that they watched on them, they did some things that were very similar, but other things in different formations and stuff, they were totally different than what they were expecting. And it's taken some time to do it. So I get that. So, you know, my hat's off to them making the adjustments and picking up the win. Like you'd said, Joe, Adam Sweski got great videos. He got the touchdown with like 49 seconds left that was made a Walker. Then he got the onside kick that New Philadelphia recovered. Then he got the Jelani Walker for Baron May touchdown with 19 seconds left. Adam did a great job. And Eric, he gave his hats off award to Jelani Walker. Three touchdown receptions for the New Philadelphia Quakers, including that game winner.
Funny thing is about New Philadelphia, if you look at him, look how good Baron May has been. You know, he came in last year, started those two playoff games at the end of the year. They got wins. They went on and lost to Akron Hoban. But you know what? He comes in this year. Baron May steps up when needed. And that kid has grown up a lot. And he only being a sophomore, he shows some real poise in leading his team back.
Well, and what did you say, you know, on Friday night? When the lights are the brightest,
Baron May shines the brightest. So, yeah. Baron May, congratulations again on a great season so far, especially last week with those three big touchdowns in the fourth quarter, getting your team the victory. So, Baron May is, you know, he's playing very, very well right now for the Quakers, and that's what they need.
Absolutely. And Garaway, they took care of TCC 42-6. Bruce Patterson, the lone touchdown for the TCC Saints. Dawson Lay, three touchdown passes. Brady Winters had a TD run, or two TD runs and a TD catch. Holden Yoder with a pick on defense. Matt Mullen, Braden Yoder, both touchdown receptions for the Garaway Pirates. TCC just decimated with trying to figure out where to put guys.
They are. And when you have 18, 19, 20 kids and you get some injuries, that you just struggle. I don't care who you are. Even if big teams, you get some key injuries, you're going to struggle a little bit. And that's kind of what TCC's doing right now. They're struggling. They're scrambling to put people in the right spots. We'll see if they can right the ship. Knowing Coach Casey Cummings, they will right the ship. And we'll talk about week five coming up here in just a minute. But, you know, their game this week, you know, they got a home game finally, but we'll talk about week five in just a minute. But TCC, they'll get back on the right track.
Yeah, and Garaway, you know, they're still trying to find their identity as well. And I think this was a game that we looked at on the schedule and said, well, Garaway's probably going to get the win there unless something crazy happens. And I think that this is a game for them to start to figure out some identity. And obviously some of that identity is Brady Winters rushing the football.
Yeah, Brady Winters is Mr. Everything for them right now. He was my hats off award winner last week. Two receptions for touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, 201 total yards of offense. Really made a really big statement to be player of the week. There were just a couple other players that had bigger weeks. And, you know, Brady Winters is Mr. Everything for Garaway right now. That offense is finding itself, which is a scary thing because look how young they are. Dawson Lay has been playing a lot better since week one. Against Danville, he played well. And, you know, he's growing up. The team's growing up. The defense is finally understanding things. The offense is clicking the kind of way Coach Wallach wants it to. We'll see what happens. They got a tough road game this week. We'll get into week five in just a little bit, though.
Yeah, and then speaking of player of the week, Joe, our player of the week was somebody that we didn't expect this week.
I would agree. And you going to tell me who that was?
Yes. Well, you know who it was, but I will tell our listeners who it was. Hopefully they already know because they listened to the show on Friday night. But Conotton Valley, they get their first win of the season, 20-6. And our player of the week, our Harrison Auto Parts player of the week, Matt Caldwell. What an incredible game he had. Three catches, 100 yards, nine carries, 41 yards, and a touchdown. He had two interceptions on defense, including 103-yard pick six.
Yeah, that was a big game for Matt Caldwell. I know he played quarterback the last couple of years, and they move him kind of like an H-back, kind of, you know, Mr. Everything again, like kind of like a Brady Winters is. But, you know, Matt Caldwell, heck of a game, man. Hats off, player of the week. That's awesome. I mean, you can't ask for a better week than what he did, 103-yard pick six. I mean, I wouldn't have made it to the other 20, and I would have probably fell over. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, Miley Cottis had a good game at quarterback, 5-9, 113 yards, did have the interception, and Jake White, 3 carries and 41 yards on the ground. So Canton Valley finally found some offense, finally found their first 20 points of the season through 4 games, and they pick up their first win as they go to 1-3. We'll see what they do in week number 5. But bottom line is they're going to need Matt Caldwell to continue to do what he did. And congratulations to our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week in week number 4, Matt Caldwell from Canton Valley.
Yeah, I would agree. Matt Caldwell had a great game. Canton Valley, they get on the scoreboard. They were shut out the first weeks, 3 weeks of the season. They actually get on the board, and they win the game. So even better for the Canton Valley Rockets. Congratulations, Brant Gardner and the Rockets.
Absolutely. It was great to have Brant Gardner on a post-game show as well. For those of you who don't think that we have the best coverage in the area, there's nobody. I seen somebody, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but I seen somebody on our Facebook page said they were asking for scores, and I don't understand why people would ask for scores, because they're constantly updated, and if they constantly listen to our show, you know, if you listen to our show for 15 minutes, you're going to get 2 score updates. But somebody asked what's the scores, and somebody else said tagged Friday Night Ohio, and I said, really? You know, I don't think Friday Night Ohio has the pictures and videos that we have from all of our games like that. True. I mean, they might have maybe score updates, but they don't have near the coverage that we do. So we do have the best high school coverage in the area, hands down, no doubt about it. And, you know, I'll leave it at that. West Holmes, they lost to Mansfield Senior. West Holmes drops to 0-4, 41-27, Joe. And West Holmes is one of those teams that they're scoring the points. They're just not getting over the hump. Their defense has given up a lot of points. Their offense is scoring it. If they could get a couple stops in some key areas, they would not be 0-4.
Yeah, West Holmes, like you said, they're scoring points, scoring points, and Bridger Klein playing well at quarterback for the Knights, and their offense is going. It's moving. It's kind of what Coach Gardner wants it to be doing. It's productive. Their defense is a work in progress right now, and I know Coach Gardner understands that, and we want to see the defense. It only gets a little tougher for West Holmes. Their schedule doesn't get much easier, but you know, West Holmes, they'll be there in the end, and you know, they'll get a couple wins on the board. The offense is rolling. Their offense is playing well. They got to make sure, watch the turnover bug, but their defense, yeah, maybe got to stiffen their back a little bit and try not to give up so many points.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is I really didn't think that West Holmes would be sitting at 0-4 right now. I was thinking probably 2-2. You know, 40, like I said, they're scoring points. I mean, they're scoring 25, 23 points a game, but they're giving up over 30. Sure. And that's kind of the issue. So, you know, we'll keep following West Holmes and keep hoping that head coach Zach Gardner continues to do good things out there. And I promise you, Knights fans, just be patient. Be patient, because Zach Gardner is the guy that you need to turn this program around. And if you guys are patient with him and the administration's patient with him, the dividends will pay big down the road.
I would agree with that 100%, Chris. Coach Gardner does a great job out there, and he will get that program back to where they once was.
Absolutely. And Ridgewood, this is my shocker of the night. I was stunned. If you would have told me this, and I wouldn't have been in the area, that 3-0 Ridgewood would get shut out 40-0 by East Canton, I probably would have passed out in the front yard.
You know, here's the weird thing about that game. I knew East Canton could win the game, and right. I kind of thought Correct. That they would, because East Canton's a good team, very well coached. Spider Miller doing a great job up there. I didn't think it'd be 40-0.
No.
I thought it might be something, you know, 28-24, yeah. 28-21. You know, I thought it would be a more competitive game. Ridgewood had a bad night. East Canton took advantage of that. East Canton with a big win, 40-0. I'm sure Coach Slusser said, Well, this is what I've been telling you all season. You know, the first three games of the season, they did very, very well. They just ran into a better club Friday night, and that's just what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Coach Sloss has been telling us kind of off the record, look, guys, you know, we do got some holes, we got some issues, and we're sitting over here going, yeah, you see the three wins that you got? Okay, you got issues. You know, I guess maybe they do.
Well, but, you lose your starting center, who's sure. also your middle linebacker. That's a big hole to fill, no pun intended there. But, you know, it's Coach Lester will get him back on track.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm sure that was a stumbling block that 40-0 is probably a shocker to everyone on that game. But like I said, I thought it would be like 28-21, something like that. But you know what? Ridgewood will bounce back.
Yeah, Colton Alexander threw his first two interceptions of the year, the first one in the first quarter, and I believe he was sacked 7 or 8 times. That's, you know, I don't know if that's a product. You know how Coach Sluss said when he was in here a couple weeks ago, some of their stuff is a product of him trying to hold on to the ball to make plays. Sure. I don't know if that's where the sacks came from, if it was more covered sack, or if it was just they were getting pressure and overpowering the offensive line of Ridgewood. But we'll have to see what happens with the Ridgewood Generals in week number 5. The Strasburg Tigers, they got shut out as well. Tuskegee Valley, another strong game by them. 34-0, the Trojans pick up the win. Ethan Love, a couple of touchdown passes to Toby Grossi. Seth Johnson, a 79-yard touchdown run. And Josh Marks with a 7-yard TD run. So Tuskegee Valley continues to roll, Joe.
Yeah, they do. They're playing well, and they're playing good football right now. 34-0 over Strasburg. I'm actually kind of shocked about that score as well. I thought Strasburg would put some points on the board. They struggled a little bit. Tuskegee Valley is quite a bit bigger team. You know, Tuskegee Valley, you know, they kind of took it to Strasburg on their home field on Friday night. Strasburg will bounce back. We'll see what Coach Pollitt comes up with for the Tigers this week. We'll get into week 5 in just a minute.
Yeah, and then Malvern, New Cumberstown. Malvern with a 49-20 win. Drew Hutchinson, a big game at quarterback for the Malvern Hornets. Chase Bryant with a kickoff return touchdown for New Cumberstown. New Cumberstown puts up 20 points, but the problem was they was down so much so early. And, you know, Dirk Gadd down there starting to turn that program around. They're starting to do some good things down there. It's just going to take some time as well, kind of just like West Holmes and Zach Gardner. If you give it time, New Cumberstown's one of those teams that, you know, they've had some good, really good football seasons. They've kicked the crap out of Ridgewood quite a few times back when I was in school. They were a powerhouse running team. And, you know, they've fallen on some hard times with not as good athletes. But you know what? Now all of a sudden coming around, you know, Dirk Gadd takes over for Josh Lommers, and I think Dirk Gadd will turn that program around. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, it always does with new coaches. You got to give, and it goes at any level, high school, pro, college, whatever level you're at, you've got to give a coach time to get his system in place, his, you know, and I even hate to say this, but his players, but, you know, those are his players now. He kind of, you know, he took that over. Those are his players. Get his system in place. Get them believing, and high school coaches are good at getting their system in place quick. Coach Gardner does it well at West Holmes. Coach Gadd will do it fine at Newcomerstown.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. And our final game that we'll talk about, the Claymont Mustangs, they just continue to roll after that week one loss at New Philadelphia. They destroy Buckeye Trail 35-7. Taryn Harris, another great game at quarterback. Two TD passes, Dakota Bunning, a long TD run, and Xavier Grant, two touchdown runs. The Claymont Mustangs playing very, very well right now. And I think that, you know, we've been talking about it all year long already, and we're going to continue to talk about it the last 5 weeks of the season. Week number 10 is going to be huge.
Yeah, week 10 is going to be huge, but Claymont playing very, very well right now. Their offense is clicking. You know, the defense is playing well. They got a tough game this week on the road, but we'll get into week 5 in just a few minutes. But Claymont playing very, very well. They're going to be our showcase team on Wednesday on the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Extra Point presented by, like I said, Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. We'll be live at the Tuscarawas County Fair. Obviously, you'll be working, but me and Eric will knock the show down and have the Claymont Mustangs coach Tom Lasecki and a couple of his players will show up. We'll talk to him during the show Wednesday night again. That's our Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance live from the Tuscarawas County Fair Wednesday at 6. If you can join us out there, come out and support your Mustangs or listen to us on 99.9 WTUZ. You can stream it online as well. And it's It's going to be a fun day. Clamont playing well. It's going to be fun to talk to Coach Lasecki after these big wins, after a tough week one loss.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. And, you know, want to, again, send out our huge thank yous to Chuck Rest. Commissioner of the IVC came in Friday night and talked to us. If you haven't seen that, did we get the video or the sound?
Not
up yet.
Okay. We'll get it up.
I know we'll have the sound up this week from the Friday night show of Chuck Rest being on. Really good conversation with him. Chuck was a football official for 41 years and a basketball official as well. Even did some college stuff. And, you know, I've known Chuck for a long, long time. He's a good guy. And what he's done with the IVC the last, you know, 15 years or so has been incredible. And, you know, just appreciate everything that they've done. And you want to explain why we do real quick, because we had this question a number of times on the show Friday night. Why we have IVC games going on right now, but they technically don't count?
Yeah, they don't count as in IVC conference games. Right. They do count on the overall schedule, but they're considered crossover games. So you've got the North and the South in two different divisions. And if you want to look at it geographically, is it North and South? Maybe not so much, but it's kind of big school, small school. So you're gonna cross over, and you're gonna have a Ridgewood go to Strasburg, and you're gonna have a Garaway go to Malvern, and a Garaway play TCC. You're gonna have the divisions cross over and play each other. They don't count in the standings. Starting week six is when the IVC standings actually start, the games start counting towards an IVC championship. So week six is when that's going to happen. Week six, week seven, week eight, week nine, and week 10. There's five games between division opponents in the IVC, and that's when the standings will count. This coming week, again, is another crossover game for the IVC. So that's how they're doing it for the first couple of years. They might change it up. They might keep it the same. Chuck Rest said they're always evaluating things.
Well, and I just wish we would have talked to Chuck before we put up our Tuscross Insurance Agency Facebook poll question. But you know what? It's all good. You know, we kind of thought the same thing that the fans were thinking, and it was a good thing that we brought Chuck Rest in at the right time to kind of set us straight so that we can let you guys all know. And it is what it is. We'll try and coordinate that better next year, but you know, it is what it is. You know, it was great having Chuck Rest on the show, and it was great talking to him and seeing where the IVC is going to go, not just in football, but in winter sports and stuff as well. Should be a great thing to have all of the area schools that we cover pretty much, but two in the IVC.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. We don't have to talk about as many games every week now because they're all playing each other,
yeah.
But it's still a lot of fun to talk IVC. We're going to go over the Week 5 schedule for you now. Dover will be at Talmadge. New Philadelphia will be at Canton Central Catholic. Claymont at Sandy Valley. Garaway at Malvern. Indian Valley at Buckeye Trail. Newcomerstown at TCC. Ridgewood at Strasburg. Tuskegee Valley at East Canton. West Holmes at Madison. Connaughton Valley at Bridgeport, and Carrollton will be at Salem. So a lot of big games this week. We'll announce our game of the week on Wednesday at the Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance when we're live at the Tuscross County Fair on Wednesday with the Claymont Mustangs. We will announce our game of the week, and that'll be a big hurrah for us on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be good. And, you know, we'll be live at the Tuscross County Fair, so make sure you stop over to the Z Country Cottage and see us. We'll be there probably a little after 4, getting everything ready, and you know, we'll be all the way, you know, on the air from 5:30 until 11, but we'll be at the fair till about 7 o'clock.
Hopefully, yeah. We're trying to make that happen. There's a couple things we need to work out before we're there on Friday night, but we're trying to be there like we have been every year for the last 3 years. So,
oh, okay.
Definitely Wednesday we will be there. Friday still up in the air just a little bit, but it's a good chance that we're going to be there, though.
Okay, so all right then.
let's move on to let's move on to college football,
yes.
Chris. Game you got to see on Saturday night after you got home from all the soccer games. A game I watched while it was going on. Obviously, Eric was there, and that's the Ohio State Buckeyes. They rebound for a 38-7 win against Army. Kind of what we expected. They went in as 30.5-point favorites. They win by 31, so they cover the spread.
Like Berm said.
Yeah, just like they would. But I didn't think it would be a 60-7 game by any means. I don't think anybody did. But JT Barrett played a lot better. It's against Army, so people are going to be like, hey, it's against nobody. But you know what? That's what he needs to do to rebound. 25 of 33, 270 yards, two touchdowns. You know, didn't play bad. Dwayne Haskins actually got in the game late. He was 4 of 4 for 46 yards. So that was nice to see him throw the ball. And rushing-wise, the star of the game, in my opinion, again, was J.K. Dobbins. 13 carries, 172 yards, and two touchdowns. A 13-yard average per carry for J.K. Dobbins. J.T. Barrett ran it 7 times for 32 yards, which isn't bad. Paris Campbell had a couple nice runs. K.J. Hill, Paris Campbell, and Terry McLaurin all had great games offensively for the wide receivers. McLaurin and Austin Mack both had touchdown receptions. So
my boy Vic had a couple catches too.
Yeah, Benjamin Victor had 3 catches for 33 yards as well. So Trayvon Grimes, true freshman, he got his first catch. The defense played well. Of course, Chris Worley gets hurt in the game. Tuff Borland comes in, steps in his place, and really does a nice job. The freshman has 12 tackles, 9 solo and 1 for loss. So Tuff Borland played very, very well on defense for the Buckeyes. Your thoughts on the Buckeyes Saturday?
Yeah, he played tough.
He did. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Maybe it was a pun intended.
Yes, it was. JT Barrett becomes the Big Ten's most prolific touchdown passer as he passes Drew Brees in the Big Ten for the all-time touchdown pass record. Do I think that's deceiving? It is what it is. I mean, we can hash on this all day. If you want to go back on Friday night and listen, I gave my thoughts on Friday night. But the bottom line is that it's one of those things where I think JT's a good quarterback. He's a good person. But I think he's a better runner than he is anything. I don't think that he's that pocket passer. He's never going to be. Ohio State is never going to have those type of quarterbacks in this system. It is what it is. But I do think Ohio State played better. I thought the defense did a nice job of controlling that that triple option. Ahmad Bradshaw is a very good quarterback. That Wolfork, he is a load, that fullback for Army.
Yeah, he is a load.
They did a really nice job of controlling that. Army did throw the ball a couple times, and I thought that even trying to catch him off guard, the defenders were still in about the right areas. But I tell you what, I don't know. I think that teams are going to rear back and they're going to throw the ball all over Ohio State unless Ohio State proves they can stop it. And in order to stop it, they've got to stop face guarding. You've got to turn around and look for the football and then make the play on it. You cannot wait until the ball is at the guy's hands to try and put your arms up and make a play. So that's just my opinion. I think Ohio State's defense has to play better. I think their offense is going to continue to get better. With J.K. Dobbins, like you said, that kid's just incredible. I think we've got some pretty good wide receivers. As long as J.T. Barrett stays in a groove, he seems like he started to be a little bit more accurate, I guess, for lack of a better word. He wasn't overthrowing a lot of receivers. He wasn't tucking balls.
He made a couple of bad throws that were in windows that he normally makes. Watching the game, there was a stop route from Austin Mack, and he missed him by like 2 or 3 yards.
I remember. Yep.
It's about 2 or 3 yards to his right, and I'm like, you just can't miss a throw like that. But JT Barrett is JT Barrett, and we've had him for 4 years on the field and playing.
You're going to have him the rest of the season, whether you like it or not.
Unless he gets hurt, and we obviously hope that doesn't happen.
No.
But JT Barrett did what he did, and the Buckeyes got the win. So, Buckeye fans, relax a little bit. Let this team play. Let this team be who they are. Don't try to make them into something that they're not. If you don't like JT Barrett, then so be it. You got 10 games left with him. So just deal with it and then move on. But JT Barrett has been a heck of a football player, a 3-time captain, only time that's ever happened in Ohio State history. So, and then 2 years, and if you're worrying about the quarterback position, just remember what you've been saying about JT Barrett. Dude has won games while he's been here.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. There's some games he's lost, and maybe put it on his shoulders and say, hey, I lost that game for us. But you know what? In the long run, JT Barrett's been a heck of a quarterback, and he'll continue to win games for the Buckeyes.
Did you see that Pitt almost beat Oklahoma State?
In the first quarter? First
it
half?
It was 59-21.
How was that almost?
I mean, they were close.
Stop it.
All right. Did you watch any other college football?
I did.
Did you watch that USC Texas game?
Of course
game?
I did. That's where I was going. Yeah, that was a heck of a game. And I told you guys on Friday night, you know, that's a Longhorns bowl game right there, man. And I think Texas should have won that game. And I know Herman's like, oh, my goodness, we had him right there. We had him beat. Texas, not a bad team. Very physical. Their linebacker, that Malik Jefferson, dude, he was almost a Buckeye. And he ended up going to Texas. But Texas will be okay.
Pretty good quarterback, too.
And he's a freshman.
He played very well.
Cool.
He played better than Sam Darnold did, I thought.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, though, watching him throw the ball is a lot of fun. I mean, you can tell he's going to be that pro quarterback that zips the ball all over the field.
But that's what Ohio State needs.
No, they don't, because it's not the offense they run. If you want to root for a pro-style offense, go root for the USC Trojans.
I don't want to root for
USC. Go root for the New England Patriots, whoever you want to run.
I want to see a quarterback throw the football and hand off to the running back, not run quarterback draw, quarterback read every down.
Well, that's the offense Urban Meyer runs, so you take it up with him when you're down there on the Maryland game. But
well,
don't really do
Herbs,
that.
I'm coming for you, buddy. We're going to have a little talk.
Don't do that. You might get our credentials revoked, or he might kick you out.
All right, so wrapping up college football, the Buckeyes this week.
Yeah, Buckeyes with UNLV this week. They're coming in. UNLV is 1-1 on the season. They're a run team. They're averaging about 350 yards on the ground, 206 yards through the air. So they run the ball a little more than they throw, but they do give up they give up 400 yards a game. So it could be interesting.
But if you're UNLV, do you come in and say, "Hey, we're gonna take some shots down the field as suspect as the corners have been"?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you're gonna do that, absolutely. Yeah. But guess what? It better not be 5-step drops, because the defensive line will just pound into the turf.
Oh, I agree.
So the last 5 games for UNLV, going back to last year, the first 2 games of this year, they lose to FCS Howard, 43 to 40. That is Cam Newton's little brother, actually, is a quarterback for Howard. UNLV was a 45-point favorite in that game and got beat 43 to 40. So kind of crazy. And then last week they win at Idaho. Actually, they played on the 9th. So I guess that would have been a week or so ago. So they had a week off preparing for the Buckeyes. They won 44-16. But UNLV, a noon kickoff. It'll be an early kickoff for the Buckeyes. I don't expect anything less than what we saw this past week. Maybe even a little more scoring if that's possible.
Yeah, and great job, Eric McElroy. Had the story up after the game, and great coverage from down there. So Eric did a nice job, and I'm sure that you will have tip-top coverage this week. And tell the shoe I'll see him in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that.
All right. So moving into the NFL, of course, week number 2.
Do we have
got
to?
Kicked off, yes. The Bungles, they looked terrible in a 13-9 loss over the Houston Texans.
They looked terrible. They fired their offensive coordinator on Friday morning, Ken Zampezi. He's out. He's been there since 2003. He came in with Marvin Lewis. When Marvin came in, he was an assistant somewhere along the line in the offensive side of the ball, quarterback's coach, you know, just an offensive assistant. Worked his way up to offensive coordinator. Didn't do so well the last 2 games. And their offense struggled a little bit last year as well, but injuries were a factor last year. Injuries really not a factor this year. The Bengals are going to struggle this week. Not much easier. You got the Green Bay Packers coming up. So we'll see what happens with the Bengals. I'm sure they're going to be 0-3 onto the Browns, who didn't look much better.
No, the Browns actually, you know, I picked them to win this game. I think that
just
Baltimore,
because of your hatred for the Ravens, is the only reason you picked it.
Well, that's part of it.
Yes.
But the Ravens, to be honest with you, they are not the team that they have been, you know, that they were 3-4 years ago. They're just not. Joe Flacco is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just my opinion. They don't have a run game. Their receivers, they've lost a lot. Their defense isn't as good as what it was. Terrell Suggs is like 90 with a walker out there still trying to play. But even with that walker, they defeat the Cleveland Browns 24-10. I did not get to watch any of the game. I heard that DeShone Kizer was terrible. He was 15-31, 182 yards and 3 picks. Something about migraine headaches took him out of the game, Joe.
Yeah, he had a migraine headache. I believe it was in the second quarter or somewhere around there. And I think he ended up coming back for a little bit. But Kevin Hogan came in
and played well. I heard he drove him down and scored a touchdown at least.
Scored a touchdown to David Njoku, their rookie tight end. But you know what? That was about all that they had in that game. I was actually watching a little bit, and unfortunately, I dozed off. off and fell asleep. And
wow, shocking.
Nothing against the Browns, but it's just the NFL for me is just not exciting. It really is not. Any NFL game I watch, I doze off on because it's just so cookie cutter, screen, swing pass, a 5-yard run, swing, screen pass. You know, it's just boring. It's every offense does it. Every team in the NFL does it. It's just boring.
Kind of like watching the Ohio State Buckeyes. Quarterback Reed.
Not at all.
All right, then.
I'd rather watch that than watch the NFL. Trust me.
All right. The Cleveland. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they defeated the Minnesota Vikings 26-9. Big Ben, 23-35. 243 and 2 touchdowns. The Steelers offense, still not perfect. Le'Veon Bell, 87 yards rushing. They're still missing a few things, but Martavis Bryant playing well. He had one of those touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster had one of those touchdowns. I'm telling you, Eli Rogers looked good with Antonio Brown. They've got 4 or 5 receivers that can get it done. And once things start clicking here about week 4, week 5, you better look out.
You know, here's the thing I'll say about this game. I didn't watch much of this game because it was on the same time as the Browns, and we flipped it over a couple times, and again, I fell back asleep. So, but, you know, I think the game would have been different, honestly, and I say this wholeheartedly. If Sam Bradford would have played for the Vikings, this game would have been different. Not saying that the Vikings would have won, but I think it would have been a lot more competitive. Correct. Case Keenum, not an NFL quarterback. You know, it's a shame, but you know what? Steelers did what they had to. They won, and then they move on to this week.
So. Well, and the bottom line is like you said, Sam Bradford played great game last week, and him being out this week definitely affected what the Minnesota Vikings did, no doubt about it. And whether they would have won or lost or not, who knows? But the bottom line is like Mike Tomlin said, the Steelers didn't play perfect, but they did what they had to do. They won the game.
Sure.
Moving on to other NFL scores, the Carolina Panthers beat the Buffalo Bills in a snoozer 9-3.
Again.
Right. Tampa Bay, they hammered Chicago 29-7. Arizona snuck by Indianapolis in a snoozer 16-13 in overtime. New England beat New Orleans 36-20. The Chiefs over the Eagles 27-20. Tennessee over Jacksonville 37-16. The Raiders hammered the Jets 45-20.
Did you see your boy Marshawn Lynch dance in that game?
I did see him dance. I got him on my fantasy team.
I'm glad
he scored the touchdown.
What do you think about the dancing? Disrespectful?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Just like kneeling for the flag, disrespectful?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The bottom line is moving on. Miami over the San Diego Chargers.
Are you sure not the LA Chargers?
I was looking at you the whole time. 19-17. The Broncos, they ripped Dallas 42-17 in a game that I watched most of that game. It was delayed over an hour because of lightning. Dak Prescott looked terrible. Zeke Elliott had 8 yards rushing on like 12 carries.
20 seconds. Give me your reasoning. Is Zeke Elliott, is his off the field troubles distracting to this team? Yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, go ahead. I agree.
Okay.
I think it's become a huge distraction.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because obviously 9 carries, 8 yards, not the Zeke game that we're used to.
No. Especially when, what they say, there was like 9 other quarterbacks in the NFL that had more rushing yards.
I think Andy Dalton rushed for more yards than he did. You know how fleet of foot Andy Dalton is.
Ben didn't because he had 2 for -2. Seattle in a slugfest over San Francisco, 12-9. Washington over...
Was that the Mariners and the Giants?
Yes, it was.
Okay, cool.
Washington over the L.A. Rams, 27-20.
Come on, read your right.
Yeah, I know. Falcons took care of Green Bay last night, 34-23.
Really? Wow.
They tried to blow it, though. Mr. Discount Double Check tried to come all the way back.
Your favorite quarterback, right?
All right, I know you have
some NASCAR stuff.
Well, and then tonight, the Lions and Giants wrap up week number 2.
Another snoozer.
Yes. No.
The NFL is so boring.
The NFL
is boring.
I got to watch the game because my fantasy team that I'm playing, he has Eli Manning, and I'm up by 32 points.
Spend time with your kids and your wife.
Well, it's on at 9 o'clock.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
My kids, one of them's in Marietta.
Hey, call her on the phone and
the other one will be on Snapchat. That's all she does.
Well, Do that again?
That's pretty funny. That's all she does.
Well, get in with there and have fun with it. You like to take selfies, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Come on, Kale. Spend time with your family. Quit watching the boring NFL.
Okay. Moving on to NASCAR news. Martin Truex Jr. wins the first race of the playoffs at Chicago Land
Rover. Already in the playoffs?
Yeah, yeah.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Okay. Yeah, they 9 to go now. Truex
that's
wins.
Too many.
Chase Elliott finishes second. Kevin Harvick third. Denny Hamlin fourth. Kyle Larson fifth. They're at New Hampshire on Sunday.
Isn't the NASCAR season like it lasts all year? They get like 2 weeks off. They come back and start racing again.
No,
is it? Isn't it
they're done.
Short?
They're done at the so about the middle
in,
of November.
They start in the 1st of February and they're done at the end of November.
Actually, about the 3rd week of February and then about the 3rd week of November.
And people cry and complain about how long the NBA season is, how long the NHL season is, how long the baseball season is. But come on. Baseball's over with before NASCAR, and they even start later.
Yep, and then as soon as the off season starts, they do off season testing all through the winter. So
too long.
Yeah, they're not
cut
off,
it down.
They're not off much.
About 20 races is all they need.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you. On the IndyCar side, Simon Pagenaud won the season-ending race at Sonoma, but young American Joseph Newgarden, in his first year with Team Penske, won the series title.
He spells his name weird.
Yeah, it's J-O-S-E-F.
Yeah, that's weird. That's why you said he was an American. I'm like, how's he an American? And he's spelling his name like
that.
He's
not Joseph from Croatia. He is Joseph from Hendersonville, Tennessee. But it's great to have a young American. The last one that won it was Ryan Hunter-Reay a few years ago. Joseph Newgarden going to win a lot of races and a lot of titles for Roger Penske. Again, he finished second. Will Power finished third. Scott Dixon fourth. And maybe in his final race, three-time Indy 500 winner and legend Elio Castroneves finished fifth.
Absolutely. I know Midvale Racing is done this year. Great job as always, man, and it's always fun to go to Midvale. Can't wait for next spring. Get out to some races. Support your local tracks, guys. And I'm not a big NASCAR fan. You guys know that. Chris does a great job with it. Keeps me interested in it. My family loves coming. So get out there, support your local drivers, and, have fun at the races because you can. You can have a lot of fun at these races. My wife is like, hey, I want to go back to a race. You know, we have a lot of fun when we're there. And Chris does a great job, track announcer, getting all of it ready, the recaps, everything. So, and just like he does for us, we couldn't do the show without him. So, Chris, thanks, man. You do a great
thanks.
Job.
Yeah, there's a lot of family-friendly things at local racetracks, and we do a lot of different things. So, yeah, make sure you come down and see us. We had $1,200 spread across the front straightaway a couple weeks ago for the kids. We had a trailer race that was completely destructive. Yeah, we do a lot of stuff for families, and it's a good family atmosphere. And, hey, guess what? There's a lot of people out there that like to whine and complain about how racetracks are run. There's three of them out there locally for sale. Go get you an investor, buy one, and we'll see if you can do it.
Yep, absolutely. With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. Don't forget to join us Wednesday night at the Tuscarawas County Fairgrounds for the Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor. Allstate Insurance will have the Claymont Mustangs join us live from the fair at our Z Country Cottage. Right inside one of the main gates. Join us again Wednesday night at 6 o'clock for the Claymont Mustangs on our Extra Point Show. Chris, we'll see you Friday night. Have a good week. Z Country, thanks. That's it for this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and on Facebook Live.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.